Be entering into the 22nd verse of Genesis 42, continuing the story, the life of Joseph as he is in Egypt. Genesis 42, verse 22 through 24 will be our verses for this morning. We'll read verses 18 through 21 just to see where we are in the context prior to these new verses. And Joseph said unto them the third day, now the brothers were imprisoned for 3 days, thinking and pondering these events. Joseph gave them time for that. You have a lot of time in prison to think. Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. And he used the word Elohim at that point. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye carry corn for the famine of your houses. But bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. And they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother. See what happened in those 3 days? They pondered these events, and they came to the conclusion that these things were happening to them because of what they had done to Joseph 22 years prior. Connecting these events, we are verily guilty concerning our brother in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. And then this week's verses, verse 22 through 24. And Reuben answered them, saying, spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child, and ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. And he turned himself about from them and wept, and returned to them again, and communed with them, and took from them Simeon, and bound him before their eyes. So we see here in this passage that one singular event in their lives, in the lives of all the brothers, comes to their memory. You know, it's good to be able to connect things in your life as to why this happened, and you connect it to something that could have happened 20 years ago. And that's what comes to mind here. The Lord puts into their mind a memory. Now, Reuben made no mention at this time of what he did with his father's concubine, Bilhah. That was not the memory that came to mind here. Judah did not recall his incest with his daughter-in-law, Tamar. Simeon and Levi had no memory at this point of their revenge on the men of Shechem. Those evil events were not recalled. But one event that included them all was in the forefront of Reuben's mind. One event common to all and known only by them and by Joseph. That was the event that they tied this distress and this imprisonment to. That event was Joseph. Now Jacob, for all these years, 22 years, Jacob was under the understanding that his son Joseph was dead. So Jacob remembered his son Joseph as a son who had long since been devoured by a beast. Remember the story of the coat of many colors? The boys had brought the coat home all full of blood, and Jacob immediately jumped to the conclusion that poor Joseph had been devoured by a beast. So Jacob, for all these years, remembered Joseph as his oldest son of Rachel, his beloved wife, gone for these many years. So Reuben recalls that day. They've been in prison now for 3 days, and he recalled those events so long ago, 22 years, as vividly as the day it happened. Do you recall any events like that in your life? Oh, those kind of events that are singular in their importance come to mind. And he also, at this time, puts himself in a good light. Do you notice that? Reuben was, as Jacob said in future verses, as unstable as water. You know, if you put yourself in a good light, is that a mark of instability? I say so. So he recalls his ploy. Remember, he had a ploy. Instead of taking charge at that event as the eldest, he had to manipulate around this situation with Joseph. And instead of saying, "Now, boys, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do this evil," and rescuing Joseph, he had a ploy to rescue Joseph, but the ploy didn't work. You know, you can make all kinds of plans, but they don't come about. What's that saying of the Scotsman? Off gang of glee, which being interpreted means off times go astray. See? Oh, the best laid plans. And Reuben had such a best laid plan. He was going to rescue Joseph instead of taking charge and saying, "We're not going to do it." See? So he says, "I told you so. I told you so." Oh, "I told you so's" happen all the time, don't they? They're so helpful, aren't they? "Oh, I told you, we should have done it. We could have done it. We might have done it." Oh, they're so helpful, aren't they? So Reuben comes and says, "I told you so. Do not sin against the child." You see, his memory, and our memories generally enhance our part in a deed, in an evil deed. And make our memories tend to cover up our part in an evil deed. Put a coating of sweet-smelling savor over our part of an evil deed, don't they? Well, that's what Reuben did. He enhanced his part in the deed, for when you look back to chapter 37, we find that Reuben said, "Let us not kill him, but cast him into the pit." See, of course, that was part of his ploy. He hoped to rescue Joseph with this ploy instead of soundly condemning his brothers for this horrible deed and ending this affair concerning Joseph. He could have put a stop to it right there and then. See? Oh, that's a lesson to us. What not to use manipulation and ploys to do right. What to do right. See? What to just go to the crux of things and do right. So for 22 years, Reuben had been an accessory to lies that kept this deed from being revealed. An accessory to lies. You know, an accessory to lies is no better than the lies, is it? Huh? Oh, I didn't lie. I just kind of joined in, but I wasn't the liar. Oh, yeah, but you were an accessory to the lie. You promoted the lie. We got a lot of that going around. Got a lot of that going around. So for 22 years now, Reuben had been an accessory to lies that kept this deed from being revealed. Can you imagine for 22 years observing Jacob in his grief? For he could not be comforted. And every time that they were around Jacob, most likely Joseph's name came up. And Jacob said, "Oh, Joseph, I wish Joseph was here." And those boys kept silent because they were accessories to lies. See? So this had been working on their hearts for 22 years. And God is bringing it to a culmination. Oh, praise God for bringing things to culmination, bringing things to closure. Cleansing hearts, you know. How would you like to live with a wicked heart and unrepentant spirit for 80 years like so many do? Aren't you thankful that one day God brought you to a place where repentance came about? Oh, how free we are. How free we are, aren't we? But now, after all these years, Reuben sees the judging hand of the Lord in this evil that has befallen him and his brothers. There's a connection taking place. See, for all these years, there had been a disconnect. You know, there had been no electricity going between. That's a disconnect. You had some disconnects this Christmas when you were trying to find that bulb that was burned out and you had to take and do all. That was a disconnect. See, there was no connect between God and these boys. But now he's seeing a connection taking place. So he says his blood is required. You know, in the Old Testament, we see a lot of places where his blood cried out for justice. It's as if the blood has a life to it that cries out for justice. Oh, justice. And he says his blood is required means that justice is working. There's something working here, boys. There's something happening here. Can't you feel it? So satisfaction for his blood is being demanded. Oh, we hear that in places where people have lost their loved ones to some evil deed and they demand justice and nothing but justice will satisfy them. See? So evil for evil, sowing and reaping. Finally, after all these years of deceit and lying, we are to get the punishment we so truly deserve. You know, punishment is like that. You don't want it, but when it comes, you're glad you got it. That's a lesson with your children, isn't it? Oh, you say, well, I don't want to punish them. Well, you better get it over with so that they have it and they can be free. See? So that's what Reuben was seeing here. He was saying, after all these years, maybe this is all going to come to light. We're going to get the punishment that we truly deserve. So they feel that a just retribution has come upon them for the cold-hearted treatment of their brother, as evidenced by their callous reaction to the anguish of his soul. Read those verses again, and you get the feel for the anguish that was given by Joseph as they treated him so wickedly. And this is what Reuben remembers. See? He remembers that cold-hearted treatment of their brother. He remembers his screams for mercy. See? And then he looks back on their callous reaction to the anguish of the soul. Oh, how wicked is the heart. Brothers. These were brothers. See? So these cries of deliverance continued to ring in their ears for so many years. And you can imagine the mental pictures that God was playing in their minds at this moment. You know, we watch television, we watch things with our eyes, but you can watch things that take place in your mind, can't you? Oh, and God brings in those mental pictures to remind you of the past, so that your future can be with him. Joseph struggling against the force of his brother's arms as they placed him into the pit, his tears shed, pleading for release. Oh, those mental pictures were clearing up at this date. That prison house had cleared their minds to think of those events so long ago. And Reuben says, now justice is expected. And Reuben knows without a doubt that this situation in Egypt is connected to his sin and his brother's sin 22 years ago. I find that interesting. They knew it. This was uppermost on their mind. Yeah, that sin that Reuben had with Bilhah. That sin that Judah had with Tamar. That sin that the boys had with the men of Shechem. That was not in the forefront of their mind. What was in the forefront of their mind was how they treated their brother. There's a lesson there, isn't it? God's going to hold us accountable on how we treat each other. See? There's a higher standard for how we treat each other. So conscience and memory and reason are working their work, for their sin is finding them out. Conscience and memory and reason given by God. We all have it, don't we? Given by God so that our sin can find us out. So sin is revealing to them what they are. You know, that in itself is a gift of God, isn't it? For sin to find us out unclothes us from the coverings that we put on ourselves and reveals to us how God sees us. That's a gift of God. See? That's a gift of God, because if we have the right kind of heart, it will drive us to God for refuge, as the only place of refuge. And they knew not that Joseph understood them. Joseph had talked to them in Egyptian through an interpreter. He did not speak their language to them. He did not reveal himself to them as one from their country. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. He was hearing these repentant spirits. He was seeing how they had connected this event to their treatment of him 22 years ago. And he turned himself about from them and wept. Oh, tears of joy. Tears of joy that there could be a reconciliation, that there could be brothers who would repent and reconcile to God. So he turned from them and wept, not wishing that they see his emotions. Composed himself while they continued their speech, and returned to them again and communed with them, talked to them some more, probably talked roughly. That was his manner with the boys, because he was trying to get a product. He communed with them. And he pointed at Simeon as the one to stay. Those 10 boys were there wondering who was going to stay. And he pointed his finger at Simeon, the second oldest. Not only did he take Simeon, but he just didn't take him off to jail, but he bound him in their presence, trying to bring into their lives an occasion, an experience which would cause them to think about their sin. We see here in this passage that Joseph was touched by the feelings of their infirmities. I find that to be Christ-like. That's Christ-like. Here, these boys were his enemy, and yet he was touched by the feeling of their infirmities. That's a lesson for us, if we're to be Christ-like. He saw that which he had longed to see for all these years. He saw a repentant spirit in his brothers, but he wasn't done yet. Some of us would say, oh, let's get together. Let's have a party. I'm Joseph. And be done with it. But Joseph wasn't done yet. He was not done carrying out God's will, for his father had been wronged by these boys. And according to his dreams. Joseph believed that his father was to be in Egypt also, so there was work to be done here. And as he had promised, one of them was to stay. Who would it be? Now, as I said, Reuben was the eldest, but he took Simeon the next in line. Now, perhaps he had not taken Reuben because of Reuben's attempt to rescue him. Perhaps he recognized that there was something in Reuben that ought to be allowed to go back. Perhaps Simeon was kept because of his cruel nature that he displayed to the men in Shechem. Throughout the passages here, we see the cruel nature of Simeon. Perhaps Simeon was even the ringleader in the evil treatment of Joseph in Dothan. Or even perhaps Simeon didn't display the same level of repentance that his brothers displayed. And Joseph said, well, Simeon needs more prison time to think. We don't know exactly why, but he chose Simeon. And I'm sure for a reason, because Joseph didn't seem to do anything just as a whim. Joseph had planned this, and he knew what he was doing. But you know, in spite of the fact that Joseph wept and could have become emotionally, overcome emotionally, Joseph did the right thing and had Simeon bound before their eyes and put in prison. I find that strong. Oh, I find that so strong in not letting his emotions overcome the right thing to do. He turned aside out of the presence of his brothers, and he took care of whatever emotions came up in the proper place. Not weeping and wailing to uncover his plan or to destroy his plan, but for their benefit, he handled that elsewhere. I find that strong. And he did the right thing. He came back. He communed with them, probably continuing to accuse them of being spies. And we had to do this. We're putting this man in prison. You go home and you get your youngest to come back and you prove yourselves to me. Putting them in a difficulty. Now they got to face Jacob. How are they going to face Jacob? Verse 25. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money into his sack. He did this in private. He didn't announce this to the boys, or at least that last part. Fill those sacks with corn. Put their money in the sack. That's how he handled it. And to give them provision for the way, and thus did he unto them. Not only did they fill their sacks with corn, but he gave them lunch bags for the way. You do that with your visitors that come, don't you? You want to take some food with you as you go on? See? So he gave them provision for the way, and thus did he unto them. And they laded their asses with the corn and departed thence. Boy, they were glad to get out of there, except for Simeon. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn, he espied his money. Have you been espying your money lately? Or lack of it thereof? Trying to spy out? For behold, it was in the sack's mouth. And he said unto his brethren, my money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And you can imagine the emotion that attached itself to that sentence. And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, and this is a revelation, for now God is in their thinking. What is this that God hath done unto us? So we see here in this passage that Joseph has the authority of the Pharaoh to do with the stored grain as he pleases. Joseph has authority, and we're told that right in the beginning of the plenty, the years of plenty. Joseph, look to Joseph. He's got the bread. So Joseph has the authority of the Pharaoh. Now the corn of this verse can be any grain. It doesn't necessarily have to be corn on the cob. This was a grain. A basic food that you can make lots of things with. It's like rice. I mean, you can almost build a house with rice. Rice is so versatile. But this was any grain. Now notice also, this is an interesting thing to see, that each brother paid for the grain that he personally purchased. Don't you see that in there? You see, this reveals to us that Jacob's family was not a commune, all sharing equally alike, but each brother paid for his grain individually, for we see that Joseph restored every man his own money. So each brother, they had their families back there. They brought their wallets full of money. I guess they didn't have wallets in those days. They didn't have pockets. I don't know. They must have had purses. Kind of makes you shiver, but that's a different culture.
Coin bags.
Coin bags. We want to call them coin bags. We're not calling them purses. But Joseph restored every man his own money, which indicates they purchased what they needed for their families and for their flocks. And it's also interesting to see that there was just not an unknown quantity of money, but the exact amount of money each brother paid for the grain was restored to each man. Each man who received his money back in his sack got the exact amount of money that he paid. That in itself was scary. See, that in itself made their hearts fail. But we see here, and it's interesting to see the reaction of the boys in contrast to the intent of Joseph. And we do this all the time with God's action on us. We think that God is mean to us when in fact God is good to us. So in all things, Joseph looked out for the good of his brothers, and he showed no vindictiveness because of their treatment toward him. Okay? Joseph's a Christian. See, Joseph's a Christian that's walking with the Lord. And Joseph, I think, knows the New Testament before it was written. Because he lives out the New Testament, doesn't he? He lives out being in Christ. He lived the admonition of 1 Thessalonians 5:15, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man." If any man had a right to do that, Joseph had a right to do it. Oh, these boys treated him wickedly. "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." Oh, I thought we just did that with the brothers, with the brotherhood. No, it's to the lost also. So we see that he lived that admonition by having no vindictiveness to his brothers, not forgiving them without repentance, but putting into place an opportunity for repentance. See, putting into place an opportunity for repentance. For instance, if you have a battle with a neighbor, or if you have an argument with someone, do you keep in place an opportunity for repentance, or do you close all the doors? See? Well, you close them with vindictiveness. But without vindictiveness, you keep them open for an opportunity for repentance and therefore forgiveness. So, he not only gave them grain for their flocks and families, but he made sure that they were well supplied for the journey home. So we see here Joseph as a type of Christ showing us the grace of God. Joseph's grace toward his brothers required no payment. They thought that they were paying. They thought that they were paying, as so many think that they are paying for an entrance into heaven. But Joseph required no payment for his grace. It's like the verse in Isaiah 55:1 that says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth." I like that word "ho" because it grabs your attention. "Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money." And it's interesting that that verse contains money, which people think is God. Oh, how they strive for money. And God throws the money aside and says, "Come, those that have no money." If you got money, this isn't the place for it. "Come ye buy and eat. Come ye buy wine and milk without money and without price." That was the attitude of Joseph. You see, his grace was free and full and without price. But it's also interesting to see that the brothers had to load the corn. They had their part too. It says they laded their animals for the journey. "And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn, he espied his money. For behold, it was in his sack's mouth. And he said unto his brethren, My money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, What is this that God hath done unto us?" In this passage, we see that one brother finds the money. No indication here that all the brothers opened up their sacks. We see indications later when they were in the presence of Joseph that they opened up their sacks. But here we see one brother opening his sack to feed his animals. And he finds this bag of money. Would you call it a money bag? Not a purse. Sack. This money sack. His jaw drops. He looks inside and he sees it's his money. And his heart fails him, and as he tells his brothers, their heart fails them. So what's going on here? What does this portend? At this time, they knew that they were in some sort of an activity that was unusual. Don't you see that? So everything that happened to them, they connected to this overall activity. What is this that God hath done unto us? So we keep seeing them tying events back to God's hand. Now in Egypt, they had admitted the wrong that they had done, and now in the inn, they acknowledge the hand of God. Oh, they were guilty. But now here we see them acknowledge the hand of God. We're seeing the goodness of God leading to repentance. So all manner of thoughts went through their minds as to why this brother's money had been in the sack. They, I'm sure, knew that they were going to have to face this Egyptian again because they had to go back to get Simeon. And now they had to go back to this Egyptian knowing that one of the boys had the money that was supposed to pay for the grain. Would he accuse them of stealing the money back or not paying for the grain? Did this easy money remind them of the money they received when they sold Joseph into slavery. Remember how greedy they were when they got those 20 pieces for Joseph? Oh, how they liked that money. But this money is too hot to handle. So the Lord's working, bringing them to a place of repentance. Oh, how wonderful this is to see how the Lord works in their lives through this servant Joseph that was one of God's servants. Father, thank you for the lesson that you've given us today. May our hearts be taught, Father, of thy provident hand in our lives. Help us to know where we are in life. Help us to know thy working in our lives, Father, not just going through life day after day without any knowledge, but knowing that your providence is working in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.